There's something about tears that help us to see the truth of Christ.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and I am so expectant for today's episode. If you have ever been in the middle of a waiting game, if you have ever felt weary in the middle of waiting for a miracle, this episode is for you. I'm literally wiping tears from my eyes because today hit me so hard and also trying to recover with my raspy voice. So you guys will have to bear with me on that. But I have the honor of having Pastor Matt Brown on the podcast today. And let me tell you, you are in for a real treat. He shares his heart on praying in Jesus' name for miracles to come forth in people's lives, and it will challenge you as a believer to increase your faith that much more. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the podcast, Pastor Matt. How are you doing?
Good. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, of course. Well, I'm so excited about today's interview. I have so much faith that this is going to encourage everyone that's listening. It's about miracles. And you wrote a book called Every Day a Miracle. And I just feel like there's something in this book and in your testimony of seeing and experiencing and witnessing these miracles that is going to encourage someone listening today that is waiting for their own breakthrough. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe what encouraged you to write this book.
Well, I'm a pastor in California. I pastor Sandals Church. It's a multi-site church in California. And just tell your listeners, pray for us. So many Christians have moved to Texas, Tennessee, Florida, and I just really feel like God's called me to live on the front lines. I tell people Sandals is First Baptist, Sodom, and Gomorrah. So that's just where we are. And that's where God's called me to be. But I wrote this book because during the pandemic, there was so much death and just disease, and we lost so many good people. I wanted to do something, and I heard the Holy Spirit say healer. I kept hearing this voice over and over and over again. And so we did a healing series in our church right in the middle of the pandemic, and what we just saw God do amazing, amazing things. And so what I would say to all your listeners is that the miraculous is a journey, and so much of what God wants to do in our life is not just the miracle, but it's the journey that he wants to take us on. And I say in the book over and over again, I can't promise the miracle you want, but I do promise the miracle you need. Wow. And I just saw God surprise me over and over and over again. And I'm just humbled. I'm humbled that I got to see some of the things that I got to write in this book. And I'm humbled that God allowed me to write it. You know, a lot of people hire writers and have somebody write the book for them. And I just really felt like this needed to be me. And it's something that I wanted to do. So I wrote this. So I'm proud of that. And I'm thankful for HarperCollins Publishing. You know, in the middle of a pandemic, I'm like, hey, I want to write a book on miracles and healing. And they're not a Christian company. So they're like, okay. And but they let me do it. And I'm really, really grateful to that. And they didn't edit anything out. This is legitimate faith journeys. These are tough issues. Wow. We tackle physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. And then in the last chapter, they wanted me to put this chapter first, but I just didn't want to do it. I got to see God bring a little guy back from the dead right in front of my eyes.
Praise God. Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy, but I'm like, look, I've only seen that once as a pastor in my life, so I don't want that in chapter one. You know, they say put your best foot forward, and I'm like,
yeah.
Look, you know, sometimes people die. Sometimes they get a no, and I don't want those people to be discouraged. So,
wow. That leads me right into another question that, you know, someone that's listening to this, I've had the my story, I actually am a living testimony of God's goodness. I encountered Jesus 5 years ago on Wednesday, Valentine's Day. I encountered him in the middle of my suicide attempt, and I shouldn't be alive, but I am. And it was a supernatural experience, supernatural shift in my life. And from that moment forward, I was never the same. And, you know, once you taste of his goodness and you see something like that in your own life, you're like, I have to know this Jesus. Like, I have to know who this God is that I serve. And so to the people that are listening, maybe they haven't had that encounter. Maybe they haven't seen that miracle or that breakthrough in their life. And they're thinking, well, if God is so good, why does he let bad things happen? Why does he let all of these terrible diagnoses and sicknesses and deaths around me happen if he's a good God who loves me? How would you address that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the fundamental core question of the book. And just so you know, your question was HarperCollins' question. They're like you got to tackle that issue. And so probably the chapter I'm the most proud of and the most humbled by is when God says no. Yeah. And I'm grateful to two good friends of mine, love them, and they lost their son Noble to suicide. So I prayed over his little body. He was 12 years old. I was right there when they called him, you know, deceased. And I asked God to bring him back, right? I'd seen it before. So, and God said no. And so let's back up. I was actually on a podcast with a guy here in LA that's not a Christian, and his opening question was this. And so what I would just say is, if God is good, evil, death, and sickness make no sense.
Yeah.
And the fact that it bothers people, I think, tells us something that our soul knows that we don't know.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. And so part of what God is doing through Jesus is he's setting that which is wrong, he's making it right. And so there's this journey. Romans 8 says that all creation groans for the new heaven and the new earth. When you get a new body, Brittany, I get a new body. And so we're moving towards this climactic event where Christ returns and everything is set right because everything is broken. Sin affects me biologically. It affects me spiritually. It affects me emotionally. It breaks things in every direction.
Yeah.
What Jesus Christ came to do was to heal all of those things in every direction. But what we're doing right now, Brittany, is we're deciding, what kind of world do I want to live in forever?
Yeah.
This world or his world?
Yeah.
In his world, he's the Lord. In this world, I'm the Lord, and I have to choose.
Yeah.
And so why are things the way they are? And what I would say humbly is they weren't supposed to be this way. I you know, Genesis 1 through 3 gives us a lot of questions, but here's the big answer. This is not how God made it.
Yeah.
So there's a moving back to what life was supposed to be like, what human nature was supposed to be like, but we have this big problem. It's called sin, and it affects us eternally, and it affects us right now. You know, like I look at you, you know, you're beautiful. I can't imagine. You're smart. You're talented. I can't imagine someone like you wanting to end their life, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
Because the world is broken. We're broken. So Christ is going to set that right. And so here's what the book is about. You know, it's everyday a miracle, trusting the God who heals inside and out. And so a lot of Christians, we think of Jesus in terms of saved or not saved. I want Christians to think of Jesus in terms of being saved and being healed.
Yeah.
And so in the Greek language, which is what the Bible is written in, the word saved in your Bible, so whenever you read saved, believe so that you may be saved, sometimes it's translated saved and sometimes it's translated healed. It's the same word, sozim.
Wow.
And so I believe that the New Testament authors picked that word because it perfectly describes what Jesus wants to do. He wants to save and heal us.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine that, you know, he didn't just save your life, he saved your soul, but he's renewing you. Something's changed inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this journey and that's this process. So why the pain? Why the suffering? You know, we have Easter coming up, and this is not in the book, but this is my Easter message. The Gospel of John says that, Peter and John ran to the tomb, right? They're investigating and they found nothing. And so many people I meet, well, I've done my research and I've worked and you know, they don't come up with faith. But then Mary goes to the tomb and she's weeping.
Yeah.
There's something about tears that show us truth.
Wow.
And so that's my Easter message. You don't go to my church, so you don't have to be surprised. But that's my message. So why all this pain? There's something that's necessary about our suffering to lead us to the cross. And I don't understand that, but I know that the Lord doesn't want me to suffer just because he wants me to suffer.
Yeah.
He allows me to suffer so I can meet Jesus. And so the story of this book is just my journey of hurting, struggling. You know, I had a throat surgery when I was 32 because they said I had a tumor in my throat. And so here I am, a preacher, right? I'm You know, I remember yelling at God, how am I supposed to preach if I don't have a voice? Yeah. And I do what everybody does. You know, you Google it and you see all the worst case scenarios. And then you just go on this, you know, journey. I call it the licking the bowl, the toilet bowl on the way down spiral, you know, out of control.
Yeah.
And I really felt abandoned by God. Hmm. And God met me in a powerful, powerful way. And I was a young pastor. Sandals was not famous like it is now. And I flipped out, Brittany. I flipped out, lost my mind. The doctor said, we have to do surgery. He said, we got to do it immediately. It's 10 days from now. And I took a vow of silence. I freaked out. You know, the fight or flight syndrome? I chose
absolutely.
Flight. Yep. And here I got my beautiful wife, two little kids, and I just bailed. And I went to Palm Springs and I took a vow of silence for 10 days. I was like, I need to hear God. And I heard nothing for 10 days. And I was so mad at God. I quit reading my Bible. I stopped praying. I was so angry. God, how could you do this to me? Which I think a lot of people feel. And so chapter 2 of the book is the miracle of God's presence.
Wow.
So Jesus's name that we don't call him is Emmanuel, which means God with us.
With us.
And so many of your listeners that are struggling, here's the first miracle. God is with you. And you need to know who that is. And so in chapter 2, I talk about the storm on the Sea of Galilee and the disciples. So the storm rages. They think they're going to die. Literally, they say, don't you even care that we're going to die?
Yeah.
And Jesus answers, why don't you have faith? Mm. And then he says, silence is the wind and the waves. And I love what the disciples say. And this is for everyone listening. If you have non-Christians that listen, here's the most important question of your life. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey?
Wow. Yes.
And so I'm in the middle of this. I hear nothing. And in the book, I didn't drop his name because I don't want people to feel like, oh, you're a celebrity pastor. So this, of course, God does this for you. But I was in Palm Springs and I was corresponding with email with my wife. I said, we can talk on email, but no phone. And so she got mad at me. She quit talking to me. She was all upset, which I understand. And I got an email from Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church.
Wow.
I had no idea he knew who, I didn't even know he knew I existed.
Wow.
And he emailed me and he said, sorry to hear about your surgery. God is with you. Learn whatever you can. Praying for you, Rick. And so here's the thing is, God borrowed Rick Warren to speak to me. And what I say in the book is I'm hoping that God can borrow me in this book to speak to you. He is with you. And so then we just go on this journey of miraculous healing where I don't know why it is as Christians, but oftentimes prayer is the last thing we think of. I share stories just about where Christians are surrounded together in a hospital room and nobody's praying, but everybody's sharing, you know?
Yeah.
If you've been through a family emergency, right? So every time a new person comes, we retell this story. We turn into news reporters rather than prayer warriors.
Yeah.
And, I remember in the book, it was a little girl in our church, my niece actually, she was 6 weeks old and she stopped breathing, had a heart attack at my sister-in-law's birthday party. So she's six weeks old. And we did CPR on her and we blew holes in her lungs. So trying to help her, we made it worse. And I remember one of our church members, we don't have prayer rooms in California. We have meditation rooms because that's how lost.
Yeah.
But one of our church members, it's packed. You know, Sandals is probably only 100 people at the time. And every single church member is there. And someone says, shouldn't we be praying? And that's what I say in the book. It's like, I'm the pastor. I should have said, shouldn't we be praying?
Wow.
But we prayed and my niece came back.
Praise God.
She was gone and she came back. And I remember the doctor, right when we said in Jesus' name, amen, the doctor or one of the doctors, because many of them were working on her, he ran in and said, so it said amen, and he runs in the meditation room. We got her back.
Wow.
Got her back. And so I just go on this journey. You know, one of the things I'm real proud of is this gal in my church named Natasha. I call it the soul cry. And I wish I would have expounded on that more, but basically what a soul cry is, it's when you're so tired of the games, you don't care about being embarrassed, like you're not worried about what you sound like, what you look like, you're just crying out to God because you need something. And her name is Natasha. and she was told she had 3 weeks to live. So I've known her since she was a teenage girl. I knew her when she was in high school. And at this time, she was probably about 30. And she had battled cancer for 12 years. And she was done. She was frustrated with God. She's angry. And the leading cancer hospital in California is City of Hope. And so I just want your listeners to think about this. When the City of Hope says there's no hope, who do you turn to? And so she made an appointment with me and we prayed. But in this prayer, in this healing service, what I talk about in the book is something changed. She became the pastor and I became the listener. And I just become a witness to her talking to God. And one of the things that, you know, Christians don't understand is, why does Jesus say to pray with repetition over and over and over again? And what I call it in the book, it's this drumbeat where we're sounding out to heaven. And it's not the repetition that makes us heard. The repetition provides clarity for meaning.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this woman become this giant in front of me. And she, in front of my eyes, Brittany, she's getting an audience with God.
Wow.
And I thought about putting her picture, because she, when she came to pray, she brought me the picture of her MRI. And the reason I did put it in the book is because it's a woman's body and you can see that it's a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to put it in the book because I wanted people to see her body. I mean, when she showed it to me, she looked like a Dalmatian dog. And all the black spots, so all the white spots on her body is where there's no cancer. And her whole body is black spots everywhere.
Wow.
And it's on her heart, on her lungs, on her pancreas, on her liver, on her kidneys. It's in her bones. It's in her lymph nodes. And for your listeners who don't know medicine, you have lymph nodes everywhere. I mean, she looks like a Dalmatian dog. And she's this little tiny Asian gal. And she just said, Pastor, they said there's no hope. And so we prayed and I anointed her with oil. And I didn't even pray after her. Like, she was done and I was like, I feel like we're good. Like, there's nothing I can add to that. And, you know, she works for me. It's 4.5 years later. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. She's going to be at my book launch party.
Wow. You know?
And here's what her doctor told her. She said, you're just unlucky. Like, the treatments just don't work. You're just in the percentage that, you know, and I just thought, and here's why I want your listeners to share this book. If you need a miracle, why not ask Jesus? Like, what do you have to lose? Like, and so basically, here's what I say. As a pastor, I hear people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. And what I say in the book is every prayer is answered in one of three ways. Yes, no, or wait.
Mm.
And so then there's a chapter on, you know, how do you figure out God's will? And I think that's a really, really important part. And then I get into, Brittany, what I feel like we just all need to talk about, which is mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Jesus sees Legion, and he casts the demon out and he says, who are you? And he says, we are Legion. My name is Legion, for we are many.
Many.
One of the things that I talk about is the complex nature of healing. So in California, we're losing our battle with mental health. And it's because doctors just think you're a lab rat. And if they just get your chemistry right, you're going to be okay. And my prayer for this book is that medical professionals and the church will come together to help people. And there's so many people with mental health issues that have spiritual issues and demonic oppression.
Yes.
And we're not treating them.
Yes.
Like, I met this girl that was suicidal. She attempted suicide 6 times, 24 years old, beautiful girl, life ahead of her. And you know what? She went to the doctors and the doctor at her hospital said, have you guys heard of Sandals Church? The doctor said this. He said, I think you need to try God because what I'm doing is not working.
Wow.
So she came and we prayed over her and her life was radically transformed. But thank God for a doctor that's willing to say, there might be more to this than chemistry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's so many people that have body aches. They have all this pain and it's not something physically wrong at all. It's emotional wounding or spiritual wounding. And Jesus can heal both. And, you know, years ago, Brittany, I did this. I was a part of this ministry that was super controversial. We're on the media. They did a reality movie about me before that was even a thing. It's called The Pussycat Preacher. So if you have, just know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I watched the preview and I never supported it. I'm like, I can't support this because they kind of glorified a little bit the porn industry. And I was like, nah, I'm out. But there was a gal named Mackenzie. I changed her name in the book because I don't want to use her real name. But I asked her, I said, pick a name. And she said when she was in fifth grade, she wanted to be Mackenzie Dominique. And I said, all right, that's the name. So in the book, I call her Mackenzie, but she was a prostitute and she was one of the girls I met in this. I mean, like we had Geraldo Rivera come to our church. It was crazy. But I met Mackenzie, and when she was 12 years old, her mother said, hey, there's some guys here that want to spend time with you. And her mother was her pimp.
Wow.
And so, you know, think about it. She turns 12 and she is baptized into prostitution. This is not what she wanted. And I talk about how hard it's been for her to be healed. And let me tell you, I mean, she's one of my closest friends. I've never been more frustrated with somebody in my life. Yeah. I've never been more proud of somebody in my life. But the thing is, wounds of the heart take a lot more time than we think. And she turned 40 last year, and I put this in the book. We went to a birthday party, and Mackenzie and I, we don't touch. So
yeah.
One of the boundaries we set up early on is there's no physical contact with men. So, and I'm a touchy feely guy. So like nothing. And so for 10 years, she's been in my life. Maybe a high five at a football game or something like that.
Yeah.
That's it. Because many men that said I'm safe, they weren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so her 40th birthday party, we went and helped her move in. She's in my community group. We helped her move in. She's moving in with a couple girls from our church. And as I'm walking out the door, Brittany, I'm literally writing this book on healing. And she knew I was writing about her. She taps me on the shoulder. And I turn around and I go, what? And she gave me a hug.
Oh my gosh. She just wept.
I'm going to start crying right now. I start crying. She's crying. And I know what that means for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took her 10 years to go, okay, you're safe. I can trust you.
Yeah.
And, you know, every man in her life has been so, so awful.
Yeah.
And, I just love her. I love her story. And here's the thing I say in the book is Satan uses people's hands to hurt us, but Jesus uses other people's hands to heal us.
Wow.
And so much of, I think, the healing that's not taking place in people's life is they're not sharing.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. So actually, the reason she's in my small group is because I had this couple in my small group, Matt and Lori, and they wanted to move her into their home.
Mm.
So I want your listeners to think about that. There's a wife in my church that wants to move a prostitute into her home.
Yeah.
She has a husband, right?
Yeah.
They have kids, but they felt led by God to do this.
Yeah.
And her healing journey is this 10-year story. And I'd say 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. I mean,
yeah.
I have lost my mind on this girl. I cannot tell you how many times because she's so broken.
Yeah.
And at church, we want to say, well, she gave her life to Jesus and she's healed, or she went forward for prayer, so it's good. And wounds of the heart take years.
Yeah.
To heal. And so I love that chapter. And I'm just super thankful for all the people who said, you know, hey, you can tell our story. There's an actress in my church, you know, we're near LA, and she was attacked by a demon.
Wow.
And I mean, this gal's been in movies, she's a mom now, but she was on her way up and just decided that's not for me. But what I say in the book is she left Hollywood, but something in Hollywood wouldn't leave her.
Wow.
And I tell you, it was powerful. And so we walk through that. And that's why I want your listeners to start praying for people in Jesus' name, because it may or may not be physical.
Yeah.
It could be spiritual. And we don't know when something is physical and when something is spiritual, or when it's both. And so we just have to ask Jesus to help us. And so this book will help clarify that. And I'm grateful that doctors like Dr. Amen, that's actually his name, like Amen.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for him. He's been like on The View, he's a super famous guy. He's kind of a doctor out here to the stars. He gave me permission to talk about what he does. But he's just saying, look, there's a spiritual component to this. And he's a brain doctor.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this is why we're having such little success. And so this book is about two things. It's your journey towards healing. And I think, I wrote it with small group questions or discussion questions at the end to go through with others to really talk about this. And my hope is for two groups of people. One, like if you grew up like me, Baptist, and you're just kind of like, well, I don't know, you know, about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and all that, and you're super intimidated. This is a theological book to help you understand, look, this is who God is. And then my other audience, kind of the name it and claim it. If you have faith, you're going to be healed. And there's so many people that are brokenhearted and who have been hurt because they got to know, and they think the problem is them. This book, I think, will help them to realize, look, God's sovereign and God can do what he wants to do. And if he said no to his son, he can say no to you and me.
Yeah.
So that's the book.
Wow.
I got emotional talking about it. So,
yeah. No, I applaud you as a pastor. I just want to honor you for a minute because not many pastors are willing to share their struggles. You know, you go to church on Sunday and you see pastors up at the pulpit and you're like, oh, wow, they've just like really got it together. Yes. And not every pastor, but a lot of them, right? And the fact that you were so open, even just during this podcast interview, of saying like, I was angry at God. I went 10 days without like talking to my wife because I was so seeking him and I got nothing. Like that's the season that my husband and I are in. We've been trying to have a baby and we have two in heaven, and it's been 3 years almost of just no answers. And it sounds like crickets, and I'm like, God, where are you? And so I know that that spoke to so many people. And then, you know, just like the sanctification is a process. We can't like start walking with God and expect him to just do all the signs and wonders and miracles. Like he can, but he's God and he can do what he pleases. And that right there, it'll shift something in your heart. Like when you realize that, because God is not a genie. And I think too, sometimes we can expect him to, it can quickly become a transactional relationship with God if we're not careful. And just hearing all of these miracles that you've witnessed and you've lived through, and my husband works in the anti-human trafficking realm. So I'm very familiar with like that scene. And we have friends that were once prostitutes and they're now free. And I got emotional hearing you share the story about her and how she gave you a hug, because I have a friend in my life that's the same way. She's in her late 40s and she's been free for about 6 years, and it was no physical touch, no anything, but the love of God within our hearts. Like she suddenly realized, it was like one day it just shifted and she was like, I'm safe. Like these people are safe. And same, I cried the first time she gave me a hug. I was just like undone, wrecked, because I realized how much it meant to her. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to read this book, because I mean, I know this will increase my faith in the season of waiting. If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLane.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
Yeah. And so let me just encourage you. I saw that I started following you on Instagram because I was like, who's this Brittany girl? Mm-hmm. You shared that. And I just want you to know, the second I saw you share that, I prayed for you. And, unfortunately, so many people are going through that today. You're not alone.
Yeah.
But one of the things I share that I think is so important, in this book is, like if I asked you, you know, what are the names of the books in the Hebrew Bible? You know, you would go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, those are the English names.
Hmm.
They have Hebrew names that have specific meanings and they're named for a reason. And so the book of Lamentations in Hebrew is not Lamentations, it's Echa, and it means how. And so, you know, so many people, when they get a no, they want to know why. Why, God? Why did you, why can't I get pregnant? Right? You and your husband are fantastic Christians. You're serving God. You've changed your life. Why?
Yeah.
And what I talk about in the chapter of when God says no is why is a dangerous question.
Mm.
And, you know, the Lord Jesus asked that when he's on the cross. Lama, lama, which is why, God, have you forsaken me? And what I want your listeners to hear is there's no answer.
Yeah.
And so a better question is how. So the book of Lamentations is how. That's the name of the book in the Hebrew. And so Lamentations has five chapters, and each the first two chapters has 22 verses in it, and the last two have 22 verses. But the third chapter in the middle has 66 verses. And there's a reason for that. What the Hebrew authors are trying to teach us is that God has something more to say in verse 22 in chapter 3. And you'll know this verse. The Lord's mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
His faithfulness never ends.
Yeah.
And so what I would say to all of your listeners is, how am I going to get through this? With the Lord's mercy. Yeah. How am I going to get through this? With the Lord's strength. And so what I talk about in the chapter when God says no, whenever God says no to a miracle, he says yes to miraculous grace, mercy. Mm-hmm. And if you look at when Jesus in the Gospel of Luke asks the Lord to deliver him and God says no, right? Jesus says, if there's any other way, God says no, look at the very next verse. And angels from heaven were sent to strengthen him.
Yeah. Wow.
And so for your listeners, God may have said no to your miracle, but he has said yes to miraculous strength.
Yeah.
And that's so important because the Lord's mercy is new every morning. It's like you might be worn out with this pregnancy thing, mm-hmm. but God is not. And God's mercy is going to be new for you every morning. And so here's the journey. And I would just say this for you is I you know, I've walked with so many of my friends through this journey. And, you know, as you discern God's will for this process, you know, I know that you have this deep desire, maybe you would even say need to be a mother. The struggle is don't let that overwhelm your need and your desire for him.
Yeah.
Like let as big as this passion is to be a mom, let it always be second, no matter how powerful it is, to your passion of being a daughter of the King.
Yeah.
And that's hard because, you know, what I say in the book is like, you know, I mean, I don't understand why a beautiful, amazing couple like yourself struggle. And then I have crackheads in my church and I'm like, you're pregnant again. I'm like, oh, you know. So, it doesn't make any sense to me, but through all of that, God's mercy is new and God is faithful. And, you know, Jeremiah could write that. So Jeremiah wrote Lamentations 3:22 as women were eating their own children, as all the young fighting men were dead, as the wealthy were being carried off as slaves to Babylon.
Yeah.
And he wrote those words, the Lord's mercy is new and fresh every morning. And so I try to remind people of that. You know, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet.
Yeah.
And but in that he wrote the most beautiful words. So I'll be praying for you and for your listeners. And part of the challenge of being a Christian is following God when it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So
yeah. Wow. Thank you. It's so true. And something that I've come to realize, the revelation that I've had in this season of life, is what an honor it is to be able to only worship God on this side of heaven in the pain and in the waiting and in the sorrow and in the not understanding and the confusion. And it's only in this season that we'll have the ability to do that. And I have always had my greatest breakthrough moments with the Lord in my most broken moments.
Yeah.
The moments that I feel closest to him. And it makes you realize, like, you know, yes, we walk through the valley, but we're not called to stay in the valley. God does not say we'll be in the valley forever. He says we're walking through it and that he's with us. And we just have to realize that it's in that we have to worship. And yeah, this is, wow, I'm at a loss for words. Thank you so much for all of these beautiful just revelations that you've shared in this book and on this podcast. And I know this is going to bless so many people. We are, I don't know if you know Jessie Green. I was just interviewing her this morning, and she's big on revival and deliverance and watching miracles, signs, and wonders. And it's so cool to see like the body of Christ activated in this season, because there's such a need for it, and people are walking around oppressed, and it is real, and more people need to be sharing about that, because the sooner we share about that, the sooner people get to taste freedom from that. And I mean, I've been set free from anxiety, depression, suicide, the list could go on, right? And once you see Jesus and you see the miracles in your own life, it gives you that faith to keep believing for more, because there's more to be seen. So thank you so much. Where can everyone connect with you and find your book?
So Instagram, Matthew Stephen Brown. So that's my Instagram handle. And then they can buy my book anywhere. It's everywhere. And I just would encourage your listeners. And again, thank you for everybody who buys it. But I really believe that the world will be interested in Jesus as Savior after they experience Him as healer.
Yeah.
And, cause in California, nobody's worried about hell. Nobody's looking for a Savior. My neighbors aren't like, you know, we should go to church. That's not on their mind. But when they get cancer, they have a divorce, there's something powerful. And I want your listeners to really, really pray through this. You know, in the Gospel of John, it says that Peter and John run to the tomb, right? They race to the tomb, and neither of them saw Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Mary comes trotting along with tears in her eyes. She's weeping, and Jesus is right there. There's something about tears that help us to see the truth of Christ. And I just truly, truly believe that, you know, we invite our friends to church. We invite them, you know, to do you know the Lord? If you died tonight, you know, all of that stuff. But just start praying for people, because I don't care if they're Buddhist, atheist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, whatever. If they need a miracle, and I say, I know a miracle worker, could I pray for you in Jesus' name? I don't know what he will do, but I know what he can do.
Yeah.
And I pray, they're always open. I've had Jewish friends. I prayed over my Jewish friend's wife. He joined me and laid hands on his wife as I'm praying over her in Jesus' name.
Wow.
You know why that is? Because he loves his wife.
Yeah.
And there's a reason, you know, I say in the book that before Jesus was ever known as Messiah, he was known as the miracle worker. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason he did that. And we need to remember that. So I just hope that the Lord uses this book to embolden Christians across America to pray for people in the name of Jesus, because I think when we start praying, we're going to see miracles, and when we see miracles, we're going to see a movement. That's what I believe. So,
yeah, so good. Wow. I don't know how to follow that up besides saying thank you so much for being here. I'm honored to have you here, and I hope this isn't the last time we connect, because I feel like you just have so much wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope that today's episode encouraged you and left you feeling hopeful that God is not done with your story, and that even if the answer is no, He is still good and He is still God, that He is sovereign over all things and He sits on the throne. Keep trusting and keep praying. If you want to purchase Pastor Matt Brown's book, Every Day a Miracle, you can find all of his information in the show notes below. As always, thank you guys so much for stopping in, and I will see you all in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.